for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 9th, 1995. 4th of July week, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Wingate of Jacksonville, Florida, is the speaker of the morning.
How would every one of you all like to be an evangelist? That sound good? Would it be all right if I just tell you how to be an evangelist very simply, and you really won't have to go anywhere? Everybody, I think just about everybody in here probably, at one time or another during the month, mails out a check or two or three or seven or ten or whatever, right? In the lower left-hand corner of that check, just write, Jesus is peace. Jesus is peace. And then just say, now, Lord Jesus, because you are the Prince of Peace, let your Spirit watch over this check. And whoever touches this check, let them sense your peace. Draw them to that corner and let them know that you are the Prince of Peace. Now I pray God will burn that within your memory. You won't forget it. Jesus is peace. Glory to God. We all desire victory, right? Hallelujah. Now it's one thing to get deliverance, but it's another thing to keep that deliverance. And I want to very quickly go through some scriptures here and a few words about keeping or walking in deliverance. But before I do that, back there on the table, there are a number of these Voices from His Excellent Glory. The camp meeting before this one, Memorial Camp, in the back, there are 9 reasons why Christians should fast. And a lot of scriptures to look up. And when you read the book of Esther and you see what happened when the people did just a 3-day fast, how the situation was completely reversed, and Haman, who made a gallows to hang Mordecai on, the situation was reversed and Mordecai was left free and Haman was hung on the gallows. Haman is a type of the devil. You are and I are a type of Mordecai's. And the devil's out to make a gallows through all the situations and circumstances in the world, all the negative issues. He's out to hang us one way or another. But through prayer and fasting and seeking God, we can reverse that thing and the devil will be hung on his own gallows. I like that. I love to hang him as every opportunity. Hallelujah. So pick yourself up a copy of this Memorial Camp Voices from His Excellent Glory. And even if you got a copy of it in the mail, pick yourself up another copy and give it to somebody else. Amen? All right. Now, hallelujah. Walking in deliverance. Turn with me to James 4:17. Lord, I thank you. By faith now, God, I get me out of the way. And Father, I just loose myself to the Spirit of God that will bear witness with the Word of God. And Father, I just thank you and praise you that you will just move over that Word and cause it to become life within us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. James 4:17. So any person who knows what is right to do, but does not do it, to him it is sin. Now, when you read that little book of 1 James, you're going to find out a lot of things about love and also a lot of things about sin. It says very explicitly, very plainly, he that committeth sin is of the devil. It also says a double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. You mean, Brother George, we can come to a place where we don't commit sin? We better, because without holiness, no man shall see God. All right. So we don't want to be double-minded. We want to get ourselves to that place of saying, Sorry about that, devil. I hear what you're saying in my head, but, you know, I think the Word of God says differently, and I choose to obey the Word rather than what my head says. Okay? All right, now, let's turn to 1 Timothy. We need to maintain honesty. Absolutely, we need to maintain honesty. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. Love, which springs from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned faith. Now, if you want to walk in deliverance, you're going to have to walk in love. The Bible says love conquers all. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Verse 18. This charge and admonition I commit in trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, that inspired and aided by them you may wage the good warfare. As long as we are in these physical tabernacles, we must wage a good warfare. We are called to be soldiers in the king's army. The weapons of our warfare, yes, we have weapons, and we are in a warfare, but our weapons are not natural weapons. Our weapons are not reaching out and striking somebody. And if I had the time, I would tell you about the attributes of the cross, but we'll do that some other time. But you do have weapons. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Where are the strongholds? Right here. Right here. Thoughts. Strongholds. Your weapons, the two-edged sword, which is the Word of God. Thank God it's got two edges. I can swing it this way, and then the devil can't get me on this side. I can swing it back and get him again. Hallelujah. All right, verse 19. How did I get back over there to James? I didn't turn my Bible. Well, praise the Lord. All right. Keeping fast hold on faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence and a good, clear conscience. By rejecting and thrusting from them their conscience, some individuals have made shipwreck of their faith. Don't you let yourself be shipwrecked. Don't allow the devil to pull you off course and cause you to run on that reef of grief. But instead, stay on course. Isaiah 26:3, that's your compass course. I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll keep your mind stayed on me. Hallelujah. We also have to maintain humility. Let's look at James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. James chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. But he gives us more and more grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That is the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. So be subject to God. Stand firm against the devil. Resist him, and he will flee from you. Now, folks, that's the Word of God. Don't play around with the thoughts that come to your mind that you know don't line up with the Word of God. Don't play around with them. Immediately, the first intimation of that thought that's ungodly in any way whatsoever, just immediately begin to praise the Lord. And if you have your prayer language, immediately begin to pray in the Spirit. Best way in the world to shut the devil out of your mind is pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Verse 8 says, come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals with divided interest. and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. You start listening to your mind when it begins to have those thoughts that are don't line up with the Word of God, then you'll find yourself committing spiritual adultery. Don't do it. Kick them out. Put them underfoot where they belong. All right? 1 Peter 5. Now we're talking about maintaining humility. What is humility? It is a deep sense of one's moral littleness in comparison to God. A modest opinion of oneself. The absence of pride. 1 Peter 5:5-9. And incidentally, if you don't understand what I'm saying, if your Bible is a little different, mine's the Amplified. Likewise, you that are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, that is, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, the boastful, and opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Glory to God. Anxiety. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication let your requests be made known unto God, and then all the rest of the stuff follows. Anxiety is what causes depression. Person says, I'm getting so depressed. Well, tell them to get out from under that load of anxiety. We're either going to take God at his word and begin to trust him more and more, or we'll just fall for the lies and the deceptions of the devil, and I don't want us to do that. Hallelujah. All right. Maintain repentance. We're going to walk in deliverance. We've got to maintain repentance. 2 Timothy 2:25-26. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Maintain repentance. Verse 25, he must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth. That is, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do his will. We don't want to do the devil's will, do we? No, we want to do God's will. Okay? So we need to repent promptly upon sinning. 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. But if we really are living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses, that is, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Isn't it amazing when we begin to walk in the light of and the joy and the peace and the love of God, we that used to be around all of the stuff, you know, out there that's absolutely degrading, we find ourselves being removed from that. We don't want to go around that stuff anymore. God removes us from it. He didn't remove it from us. He removes us from it. And in so doing, it falls off. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I write you these things so that you may not violate God's law and sin. But if anyone should sin, we have an advocate, one who will intercede for us with the Father. It is Jesus Christ, the all-righteous, upright, just, who conforms to the Father's will in every purpose, thought, and action. Oh, I'm glad Jesus is living in me today. I'm thrilled right down to my shoe soles that he's living in me today. I like that illustration the Lord gave me. And I take two when I'm sharing in particular with children that I need a picture that they can look at. Take three glasses, and one represents God, and they got a little bit of water in them. One represents Jesus, and one represents me. And in this glass that represents me, I got a chunk of ice. John 14:20, Jesus says, at that day you will know that I am in the Father. So I take that one and pour it in there. And then he said, and you in me. So I take that chunk of ice and pour it over in there. And then he goes on. But anyway, that ice gets within Jesus and the Father, and it isn't immediately like that turned to water. It takes time for that ice to melt. And that ice melting simply means that I'm being purged and cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. And eventually that ice is going to melt and you can't tell the difference. It's all water. And when the enemy sees me, that's what I want him to see. I don't want him to be able to tell the difference whether it's Jesus Christ or old George Wingate. Glory to God. Always acknowledge the truth of every situation and circumstance. You can't lie to God. You can't cover up anything from God. The night is like the day with God. Isn't it amazing that all the evil is perpetrated out there in the nighttime? And boy, we've got things going on full moon nights in certain parts of this world that would absolutely cause all your hair to stand on end. Maintain forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. And we can really read through 18 through 35, but we'll just take it from 18 through 21. Truly I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be already permitted in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree, that is, harmonize together make a symphony. Oh, here's where we really get into the importance of praise. Make a symphony of praise to God. Make a symphony about anything and everything. Whatever they shall ask, it will come to pass and be done for them by my Father in heaven. In our prayer meeting early this morning, we just come against some powers of the devil that have blinded the members of our families. And we just declared and decreed that it's broken, that blindness is done with, that they're going to see the truth. Hallelujah. Verse 20. For wherever two or three are gathered or drawn together as my followers in or into my name, there I am in the midst of them. There I am in the midst of them. Oh, I pray God will just make this so vivid to you. Married couples, that's two of you. And if you're walking in harmony, Jesus is right there with you. Hallelujah. All right, Ephesians 4:26-32, and this is extremely important. If I didn't get anything else but that would be tremendous. Do yourself a big favor and really meditate in Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. God's Electric Power Company. First letters of each one of them. God's Electric Power Company. And boy, that's right. That's a power company. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 26. When angry, do not sin. You know you can be angry and not sin. Bible tells us to be angry at the devil. I mean, the Bible says that we are to hate evil. You can measure your hate of the devil, evil, by your love for God. The same faculty that loves hates. The more that you hate evil, you won't do that unless you love God. If you can just sit around and kind of shrug it off when evil things are happening, I would ask you better check your love level with God. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Then if you haven't got this 29th verse underlined or colored in, highlighted in, do it. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, that is, God's favor, to those who hear it. Is it any wonder the Word of God says that the words of a wise man are few? We're too easy to get some signal up here, and out it comes, and it's worthless talk. It doesn't minister grace to those that hear it. Well, I wasn't talking to anybody, Brother George. I was just out there in my car going, I was just, you know, that person ahead of me jumped in front of me, and I just kind of let him have it. Well, you heard it. You're somebody. You heard your mouth say that stuff. Didn't minister grace to you, did it? Don't say it. Repent. If you can't say something good about somebody, don't say nothing. Someone said there's a little bit of bad in the best of us and a whole lot of good in the worst of us, and it behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Verses 31, 30, 31, 32. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Little word, let. Let. A lot of meaning. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you, with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. That's walking in deliverance. And we can follow through on that 32nd verse. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. One of the big areas of bondage is not to recognize the truth of the Word of God that says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. To not recognize that, to not know that down deep inside, is bondage to a blinding spirit. Whatever anybody does to you, that person is not the problem. It's only what's controlling inside of that person. And if you try to retaliate in any way against that person, you're wrong. That's using carnal weapons. And a biggie is self-justification. Carnality. Self-justification. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. The best thing we can ever do is just say, well, bless you. Praise the Lord. Boy, that makes the devil mad. And that person will find themselves, what's in them will be so stirred up, and they'll find themselves just wondering why they're so angry when you won't say anything back. You ever been in a situation where, let's say, a man and his wife were in a big argument, and you tried to bring peace, and all of a sudden both of them turned on you? In other words, the demon says, hey, get out of here. I want to see if I can get these two so mad at each other they'll kill each other, and then my work will be finished. I know a situation 1 year ago in Jacksonville where somebody tried to come in there and get a little peace in a situation, and this husband and wife just absolutely jumped on him and just tore him up. Ain't none of your business. Get out of here. Demons talking. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Meditate upon truth, the Word of God. Philippians 4. One more little book over. Philippians 4, verses 6, 7, and 8. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition, that is definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace will be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Fix your minds on them. And the head says, I don't want to. Don't you hear what so-and-so? No, I don't want to. We can fix our minds on the things of God just like we can learn to drive a car, just like we can learn to put our shoes on. We can fix this thing in a certain direction if we want to. Just like your taste buds are dumb. You can teach them to like sawdust if you want to. Over in the Philippines and in some of the wild areas, a rotten egg is a delicacy. Some of the stuff they had when I was over there in 1973, it wasn't rotten eggs. I would have run from that. But some of the stuff that was on the table, I just looked at it, and I just politely kind of passed by. Yeah, it's amazing. All right. Some examples about meditating upon the Word of God and what it will accomplish. It will give you authority over Satan. It will give you victory through the blood of Jesus. It will assure your deliverance by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? So when that thought comes to your head, that feeling, you don't have to accept it if it's negative. You say what God says. You agree with God. Stop agreeing with the devil in any way whatsoever. You agree with God. God and you make a majority. I got to take a second and tell you this little short story quickly. This old gentleman was sitting on his porch in an old rocking chair. He was way on up there in years. And a young man that he knew that had been saved come back walking. He'd been out traversing around trying to witness to people about Jesus. And he come walking back up, and his head was down, and he looked rather rejected. And the old man called him, and he said, son, come here. He says, what's the matter? He says, well, and he called him by name. He said, I've been out witnessing for the Lord. And it says it just don't seem like anybody wants to listen. The old man very wisely said, don't you know we live in a democratic society? He said, and people have, you know, people run for offices and so on, and people vote for them. And he said, now, who is it that gets the election? Isn't it the one that gets the most votes? The young fellow said, yes. He said, well, you know, Jesus sent them out two by two, right? Yeah. He said, well, the next time you go out witnessing, take somebody with you. And he said, you find that person, and you and this other man witness to him, and guess what's going to happen? That's one vote for the devil and two votes for the Lord, and the majority wins. Hallelujah. All right. Refuse to listen to or confess doubt and or unbelief. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. Thank you, Lord. For though we walk, that is, live in the flesh, We are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And then let's read verse 6. Being in readiness to punish every insubordinate for his disobedience, when your own submission and obedience as a church are fully secured and complete. The freer that you get yourself, the freer that I get, the more clearly I'll see what's going on in somebody else. And the more clearly I will understand the principles of the Word of God, that, hey, that person simply needs a lot of love and a lot of counsel and a lot of ministry of reconciliation. Is anything too hard for God? Nope. And if God lives in you and you're surrendered to Him and you're obedient to Him, nothing's going to be too hard for you. Hallelujah. Maintain a positive confession of God's Word by faith. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. You are snared with the words of your lips. You are caught in the speech of your mouth. We need to learn how to talk all over again as Christians. Our vocabulary needs to be greatly, greatly changed. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge, who allow their tongue to be used, shall eat the fruit of it for death or life. Matthew 12, 35, 36, and 37 goes right along with that. We won't turn to it. And again, also Ephesians 4, 29, and also 1 Peter 1, 15. All right? Continue to do spiritual warfare by resisting Satan by faith. And you that are writing these scriptures down, we'll go back to 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10 for that one, and also Ephesians 4, 27. Continually act on the word by faith. Now let's turn over to James. I want you to see this one. James 1, verse 22. But obey the message. Be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. And not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. How many of you ever been reading the Bible and all of a sudden you find your eyes at scanning but your mind's way off over yonder somewhere? Obey, obey, obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I want you to think about that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. The blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. So if there is situations and problems and something, it's somewhere there's some disobedience to God. Okay, chapter 2, James chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. So also faith, if it does not have works, deeds and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, dead. But someone will say to you then, you say you have faith and I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can, and I, by good works of obedience, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. So do the demons believe and shudder and tear and horror, such as make a man's hair stand on end and contract the surface of his skin. Are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless. Oh, Brother Gene, I think you got a farm. I think I'll have me a little farm, too. When I get back to Florida, I think I'll just sit out there on my deck and just visualize a beautiful little patch of corn growing up out there. I'll be sitting there for the next 10,000 years. I can have all the faith. I can sit there and just grunt, boy, I got faith. And won't nothing happen. Got to put a little work with it. Got to go out there and do a little working. Plant some seed. Hallelujah. Develop and maintain a life of praise by faith. A life of praise. Romans 4. Romans 4, 19 through 21. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Has God changed? Not a whit. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Hallelujah. All right, now let me give you two more scriptures to write down, you that are writing them, and get it on the tape. Psalm 106, 47, and 149, 6 through 9. Become Jesus conscious, not demon or problem conscious. One of the things the devil delightfully does is to constantly dangle the problem in front of us. And without realizing what we're doing, we'll just go around, boy, I'm telling you, the devil sure gave me a hard time today. Brother Lyle, I just don't know, you know, it just seemed like I can't get the victory, but the devil sure is giving me a hard time. And the devil says, oh boy, give me some more glory. Come on, praise me some more. We as spirit-baptized Christians ought to change our conversation, our vocabulary to say, hey, Brother Glenn, bless God. Things are kind of rough, but I've been giving the devil a hard time. How are you giving him a hard time? You're operating in faith. And you're praising and worshiping God. And he can't stand it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience to the word of God. Hallelujah. Glorify Jesus. Give the glory to Jesus. The Bible says that God worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Glory. Isaiah 26:3, God says, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll just keep your mind stayed on me. Remember, Satan does not like praise. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Develop and maintain a prayer life. Matthew 6:13. Lord, help me to quickly get through this now. Lord, I need your help. Matthew 6:13. And lead or bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Praise God. Then we also have Matthew 26:41 and Luke 18:1-8 and John 17:15. Praise the Lord. Pray in tongues. Ephesians 6:18. Praying in the Spirit. Also 1 Corinthians 14:4 and Jude 20, where it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Deal with the flesh. Make Jesus, who is the Word, Lord of every area of your life. Hallelujah. Reckon yourself dead to the flesh by faith. Romans 6:6-11. Be not carnally minded, but cultivate new attitudes from the Word in areas where you have received deliverance. Romans 8:6-8, 12:1-3, and Luke 9:23-25. Yield your members to God as instruments of righteousness. Romans 6, 12 through 16. And coming to the end of this, live a disciplined life. Live a disciplined life. Oh, I could spend a lot of time right there. We are undisciplined in so many areas of our lives. Make and head for spiritual objectives or goals, long and short term. Proverbs 29, real quickly. Proverbs 29, verse 13, verse 18, excuse me. Where there is no vision, no redemptive revelations of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. Diligently begin to study God's word systematically and topically. Scripture is 2 Timothy 2:15 and John 8, 31 and 32. Begin giving in order to bless others. Giving in order to bless others. And you cannot outgive God. It's impossible. And when you give, you're one of the others that will be blessed. That's in Luke 6:38 for just one scripture there. Get and keep your life in divine order. Get and keep it in divine order. In the home. In Ephesians 5:22, 6:3. In the church. Hebrews 13:7. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. In the government. Romans 13:1 through 7. In employment and school. Ephesians 6:5 through 10. Fellowship with other Bible-committed believers. We need fellowship. Desperately do we need fellowship. The hand can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Hebrews 10:24 and 25 and Galatians 6:2 as the scriptures for that. And then the last one, maintain a wholesome fear of God. Maintain a wholesome fear of God. Deuteronomy 10:12, Proverbs 1:7, and Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let's turn to that last scripture. Last scripture. Ecclesiastes 12:13, right after Proverbs. All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God. Fear God. Know that he is, revere and worship him, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of his creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. And the whole duty for every man. Fear God and keep his commandments. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. At least we got the scriptures spoken on the tape. I would have liked to have just slowly went through all of them, but time just ran out. Lord, I bless this word. And Father, I just thank you and praise you now that you'll watch over this word, God. And cause it to find good ground in every one of us. That it may grow and prosper in the thing that it has been sent. Oh, Lord God, help us, oh God, in the days to come to keep our minds stayed upon you. Help us, oh God, to rejoice in the finished work of Calvary. Help us, oh God, because we're simply a needy people. And Lord, help us to maintain an attitude of praise and worship. And as we go through the coming days, oh God, help us to just absolutely not to allow what we see and hear and all the other aspects of the natural man, God, just help us. Help us to keep the gates of our mind to put a guard over our minds so that we might walk pleasing in your sight. And Father, help us to say, as David of old said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, Father, we just thank you for the privilege of being here at this camp meeting. And Lord, help every one of us to remember that we need to intercede for Brother Glenn and Sister Irma and the campground and the people that work here, that stay here. Lord, help us to offer praise and supplication for them. And help us to, Lord, to just speak the word of faith boldly and to remind you that angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for us because we're heirs of righteousness and joint heirs with Jesus. And so, Lord, we would just ask for you to keep a host of ministering angels all about this place. And, Lord, we just thank you that for all that has been done, we thank you for that which has been done during this camp meeting, and we thank you, Lord, now for what will be done in the camp meetings to come. Thank you for the many, many people, God, that you will send that will be liberated and set free. Lord, that will grow in your word and that will be a shining light to others wherever they might go throughout this world. Oh, God, we ask in the mighty name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, and Father, according to your word, which says when we pray, believe that we receive those things we pray for and we shall have them. Help us to believe, O God, and stand steadfast. And then, Lord, now as we prepare to feed these physical bodies a little bit of natural food, would you bless it, O God, that it would give strength and nourishment to us? And, Father, we'll just praise you and give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
My brother over here, you wonder how it can be that God has put a call on your life and it hasn't lifted. It's still with you, and you wonder how it can be in light of the circumstances that surround you. But the Spirit of the Lord says to you this morning that His ways for you are past finding out with the natural mind. But God shall show it to you in your spiritual mind. And you wonder if you even have a spiritual mind at times. But God says that He has preserved the treasure within you for Himself. And not to look at your circumstances any longer. Because your circumstances are not the things that would speak to you of what the will of God is. Mm-hmm. But out of your spirit shall speak to you the things that are the will of God for you. Mm-hmm. Look no longer at the circumstances. Don't even look at yourself. But look to the truth that God has planted in the deeps of your heart. Hallelujah. For He's put His hand upon you for this day. And you can't really get away from it. You've tried a time or two, but you can't get away from it. For God has kept you, amen, for His purposes for this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.